Unlike some people who love to go out, I love to stay home. This may be caused by laziness, anxiety, or xenophobia, and in the days when my friends were happily traveling to Bolivia and Nepal, I was ashamed to admit that what I liked best was hanging around the house. I am probably not much fun as a traveler either. My idea of a good time abroad is to visit someone's house and hang out, poking into their cupboards if they will let me. One summer, I spent some time in a farmhouse on the island of Menorca. This was my idea of bliss, a vacation at home, even if it wasn't my home. I could wake up in the morning, make the coffee, and wander outside to pick apricots for breakfast. I could wander around the markets, figuring out that night's dinner. In foreign countries, I am drawn into grocery shops, supermarkets, and kitchen supply houses. I explain this by reminding my friends that, as I was taught in my introduction to anthropology, it is not just the great works of mankind that make a culture. It is the daily things, like what people eat and how they serve it. I love to eat out, but even more, I love to eat in. The best dinner party I ever went to was a black tie affair to celebrate a book catered by the author's sister. When we sat down in our long dresses and tuxedos, my heart failed. What sort of fancy something or other were we going to get? I remembered the sad story told to me by a colleague who went to a white tie dinner and received, for the main course, one half of a flounder fillet. When the food appeared at this party, I could scarcely contain my delight. It was home food, the most delicious kind. A savory beef stew with olives and buttered noodles, a plain green salad with a wonderful dressing, and some runny cheese and chocolate mousse for dessert. Heaven. When people enter the kitchen, they often drag their childhood in with them. I was brought up on English children's books, in which tea time and cottage life play an important role. These formed my earliest idea of comfort, a tea table in a cozy cottage. As an adult, I have reinforced these childhood notions by reading English cookbooks as if they were novels, and rereading such classics as Consuming Passions by Philippa Puller and Englishman's Food by Drummond and Wilbraham, as well as Food in England and Lost Country Life by Dorothy Hartley. The thing about homebodies is that they can usually be found at home. I usually am, and I like to feed people. Since I am a writer by profession, it was inevitable that I would be inclined to write about food. Now that these essays have been collected into a book, I feel it is only fair to explain a few biases. This book abounds in recipes for chicken. Nowadays, almost everyone I know has either given up red meat or restricts it severely. Furthermore, I began to cook for myself at a time when beef prices skyrocketed and people on tiny salaries simply ceased to think about it. But chicken was and still is cheap. I myself prefer an organic chicken. They are not easy to find, but they are worth looking for. Organic eggs from free-range chickens really and truly do taste better than anything you will find in the supermarket. These are available at health food stores and farmers markets. These days, most people have cut down on eggs, but the few eggs you do eat ought to taste like eggs. As far as meat is concerned, if you have a source for organic beef or veal, go for it. Not only is it tastier and frequently leaner, but you also do not have to worry about feeding anabolic steroids to friends and loved ones. It is a depressing fact of life that we must now be so vigilant about what we eat. Not a day goes by that we are not told that something else is bad for us. Butter, coffee, chocolate, tap water, wheat. When my daughter was a toddler and beginning to drink large quantities of apple juice, I and the rest of the mothers in this country learned that the apple crop was universally sprayed year after year with a known carcinogen and mutagen. Thereafter, I began to order apple juice by the case from Walnut Acres, an organic farm in Penns Creek, Pennsylvania. I also routinely order organic applesauce, preservative-free yeast, and a remarkable organic bread flour. I have also invested in a high-tech water filter that removes just about everything, including fluoride. But this is not much of a problem since most children will eat toothpaste as if it were candy from your water and makes it taste as if it came from a mountain spring.